तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। व्यतीता कतिचिन मासाद तदा नायाथ ततोर्जुनः ददर्श घोर रूपाणि निमित्तानि कुरुद्वह। A few months passed and Arjun did not return. Maharaj Yudhishthira then began to observe some inauspicious omens which were fearful in themselves. During the Vedic time, people were very learned. They would see some happenings in the nature and they could understand that they are indicating some auspicious or inauspicious happening. In the later verses, it will be pointed out that how the inauspicious signs were disturbing Maharaj Yudhishthira's mind. Like, for example, if the jackals start to howl during the day, that indicates inauspiciousness. And the vultures fly in the sky, that indicates inauspiciousness. Here Yudhishthira Maharaj indicated many. I'll just briefly go through these few points, just for our record. Next verse he is saying, he saw that the direction of eternal time has changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating. Even between friends and in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers and son, between well-wishers and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there were always strain and quarrel.
Tutti i rapporti e gli scambi, anche di semplici oggetti, si macchiano di ipocrisia, perfino tra amici. E il dissenso scoppia nelle relazioni familiari, tra genitori e figli, tra fratelli e tra parenti. Anche i rapporti tra marito e moglie sono tesi e incontrati alla discordia.
So, At that time, when Yudhishthira Maharaj saw these things, he became very, very worried. And he realized that something inauspicious is happening. And truly, he suspected that Krishna may have left this planet. Because these are the indications of adharma. When the course of time changes, when the seasons change, or rather the seasons don't really display the natural phenomenon of those seasons. Like in winter it becomes hot and in summer it becomes cold. And people's dealings also were a cause of concern, because he saw that there was so much deceit, so much misunderstanding, so much cheating is going on. They're cheating even brothers and friends. They are fighting with their fathers and mothers. The quarrel is going on between husband and wife. Now these are the indications of adharma. Now Yudhishthira Maharaj knew that Krishna actually came to establish dharma. And although before Krishna appeared, the situation of this world was very, very precarious, very dangerous. Because all the demoniac people took the power of control in this earth planet. And when the demoniac people take over, then the law and order that has been established by Krishna, which is called dharma, there is a total disregard for that. Now Krishna came to establish dharma, and he very, very effectively, very successfully did that. But then all of a sudden these unusual signs of adharma caused Yudhishthira Maharaj to become very, very worried. And it did happen. Krishna actually left the planet. He was concerned that Arjun went to Dwarka. From Hastinapur to Dwarka is not a great distance. Of course, those days there was no telephone and there was no computers for email. Communication was not that easy like nowadays. Messages could have been sent, and why Arjuna is taking so long, although he just went to meet with Krishna to find out what would be his next plan of action. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that Arjuna is not returning and these auspicious omens, he started to anticipate whether Krishna has left the planet.
Allora,
Now, Yudhishthir Maharaj, a devotee like Yudhishthir Maharaj, has so much love for Krishna that he could not just bear the thought that Krishna may have left the planet. A devotee's main concern is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead and their relationship with Him. So in their heart, all they have is just love for the Lord. Actually, living entity is situated in the heart, and the main function of a living entity is to love. And a devotee who is situated in his constitutional position, his love is projected onto Krishna. And it is out of his love for Krishna that he derives his joy. Therefore, this possibility of becoming separated from the Lord was the most painful thing that a devotee could experience. Yudhishthir Maharaj became very, very concerned about it, which we have seen later on from the action of Yudhishthir Maharaj, how much love he had for Krishna. Finally, when Arjun came back with the news that Krishna left this planet, Yudhishthir Maharaj was completely devastated. We must understand that Yudhishthir Maharaj is a very powerful personality, a kshatriya, a great warrior. And he became stunned just by receiving the news. And he just made up his mind what he was going to do. He decided that it's pointless now to continue to live on this planet now that Krishna has left. So he coronated Parikshit Maharaj in the throne and just left the kingdom. Parikshit Maharaj was just a young boy, but still he made him the ruler, the monarch of the earth planet. And Yudhishthir Maharaj just left home, left his palace and started to walk towards the Himalayan mountain. And he did not consult with his other brothers and all, but they realized what Yudhishthir Maharaj was going to do, so they also followed him. And Draupadi also joined them. So all six of them just started to walk. So that is called Mahaprasthan, or the great departure. They just departed, they just left home, And the idea was to keep walking and walking and walking without eating, without drinking, without sleeping, and give up the body.
Semplicemente partirono e abbandonarono la casa. E l'idea è quella di camminare, camminare, camminare senza ne mangiare né bere, fin tanto che si lascia il corpo.
According to the Vedic understanding, this is without eating and drinking. So, according to the Vedic understanding, committing suicide is extremely sinful.
Secondo la comprensione vedica, l'atto di commettere suicidio è estremamente peccaminoso.
But this Mahaprasthan, or great departure, is not considered to be sinful.
Questa Mahaprasthan, o grande partenza, non è considerata peccaminosa.
It is actually a move, it is actually a way to give up the body in a very, very systematic way. Can you imagine, like, one just gradually, how much willpower one must have to follow a process like this? So this is how one used to prepare himself during the Vedic time. As long as the life energy is there in the body remains alive. But one can gradually diminish the life energy and cause the soul to leave the body. Another way in the Vedic time people used to prepare themselves for leaving their body is called prayopobeshan. Upobeshan means to sit down. And prayopobeshan is a system where one would just sit down at one place and he would not eat anything, he would not drink anything, and just in this way give up his body. Like you remember that Parikshit Maharaj, when he got the news that Takshak will bite him in 7 days' time, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He just went to the bank of the Ganges and he just sat there without eating, without drinking, without sleeping, and he was simply fixing his mind on Krishna. And at that time, by Krishna's mercy, Srila Sukadev Goswami appeared there and he started to tell him about Krishna's wonderful pastimes. So, in this way we can see that in the Vedic culture, people were not afraid of dying. Rather, they prepared themselves for dying. In today's world, you consider if somebody is told that he is going to die, he has some disease and he is going to die in 7 days, what's he going to do? He will use all his resources to try to get the treatment so that he can prolong his life a little longer. But here we see Parikshit Maharaj, although he was he was the ruler of the entire earth planet, how much resources he must have had. But what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He did not try to defend himself. Rather he prepared. Okay, I have 7 days, so let me just prepare myself. No eating, no sleeping. Focus the mind completely on Krishna's lotus feet and no deviation from that.
Qui vediamo Maharaj Parikshit, che era l'imperatore quante risorse aveva a sua disposizione, ma che cosa fece quando seppe che stava per morire? Si preparò alla morte e senza né mangiare né dormire, sedette.
Rather, in the Vedic culture, one takes the advantage to prepare himself to leave his body in an auspicious way. For example, people are not afraid of dying, but what they're concerned about, that they can die properly, that is their main concern. In India, still today, you see simple people, when the time comes for death, their body is taken out of the bed and made to lie on the floor because it's considered to be auspicious to die in contact with the earth. There is another custom, and that is when the time of death comes, and if one has the opportunity to be near Ganga, then his body is half submerged in the Ganga. Up to this part, the body is, he lies down, the half part of this body is in the water, and the other half remains on the land. Just in this way he leaves his body.
Quando si avvicina il momento della morte, se una persona è vicina al Ganga, viene immersa a metà nelle alghe, l'acqua arriva fino al petto e la restante parte sulla terra, e così lascia il corpo.
That is called Antarjali Yatra. Departure, or the journey, being in the holy water of the Ganges. It is said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Mishra, left his body, he left his body in that way. So there are so many such wonderful ways of leaving one's body. So in this way we can see that the Vedic culture teaches us how to leave our body. Vedic culture teaches us the art of dying. Whereas the materialistic culture teaches us the art of living. Sometimes people ask us, why you always talk about death? You are living, you enjoy life, why you have to think of death all the time? What is our answer to that? Our answer to that is because the death is the absolute truth. In this material nature, we have one absolute truth, and that is death. Everybody has to die. But if one knows how to die, then he'll never take birth again. Tvakta dehang punarjanma naiti mameti su Arjuna. When one leaves his body, those who know that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are transcendental, when he leaves his body, he will not be born again. Jad gatvana nivartante stad dhamo paramam mamo. Krishna is saying that when one goes to the spiritual sky, he'll never have to come back again to this material nature. And the Vedic culture teaches us how to go to the spiritual world. And death is the gateway through which we enter into the spiritual sky. For a devotee, there is no death. The devotee has achieved immortality. Even when in this planet, a devotee becomes immortal. Therefore, when death comes to a devotee, it simply facilitates him to go back to the spiritual world. The spiritual perfection takes place in two ways. One is called Swarup Siddhi, or perfection of one's spiritual identity, and then Vastu Siddhi, becoming spiritual in his real identity, becoming spiritual. Swarup Siddhi is when one has achieved his spiritual perfection but still in this body. That is called Swarup Siddhi. But when one leaves his body and goes back to the spiritual sky, that is called Vastu Siddhi. So through devotional service, one achieves Swarup Siddhi even when he is in this body. But then when death comes, through death, he actually enters into the spiritual sky. There are so many beautiful examples for that. We remember Dhruva Maharaj. Like when Dhruva Maharaj was, he actually retired from his royal responsibilities and he was in Badarikashram, and he was associating with the saintly people, the sages. And then one day the chariot came from Vaikuntha. So two Vishnu Dutas came to take Dhruva Maharaj back to the spiritual sky. And then Dhruva Maharaj took his bath and bade farewell to all the saintly people there. And then he circumambulated the chariot three times. And then when he was about to climb the chariot, then he saw death was standing there with folded hands. So death approaches even a pure devotee. But how does death approach him? The death approaches him like this with folded hands. Please, now that you are leaving, bestow your mercy upon me. And what did Dhruva Maharaj do? He put his foot on death's head to climb onto the chair. And death personified was blessed by being stepped on by Dhruva Maharaj on his head. With our material eyes, we may not see how a spirit, how a pure devotee leaves his body, but from the scriptures we understand how a pure devotee leaves his body. And at least one thing we know, that a devotee conquers death, therefore a devotee is never afraid of death. When you have conquered somebody, will you be afraid of him? No. Therefore, a devotee is not afraid of death. Rather, he is prepared to face death whenever it comes. And death doesn't come in its frightening form. The death comes in his submissive form. And a devotee considers that death is a benediction. That now all the business of this material nature is finished. Now no more this hassle of making all these arrangements to keep this body alive. Isn't it a very difficult job to take care of this body? I mean, you can see how troublesome the body is, and compared to the body, mind is so much, so easy to handle. For example, when your body needs food, you have to get the food, real food. But in your mind, you can get all kinds of food, you can prepare all kinds of food, you can make the offering to Krishna, no problem. So, body is actually a source of difficulties. Now maybe we are breathing so easily. But when the time of death will come, when the lungs will not be able to breathe. It'll be such a struggle to breathe. Have you seen a dying man trying to breathe? Not a devotee, non-devotee. You can see he is making, while trying to breathe, he makes sound, all kinds of, and you can see how difficult it is to, for him to breathe. And what to speak of when you have to eat. And then you eat the food, then you have to digest the food. If you can't digest properly, then again you end up in all kinds of discomforts. And these are the basic requirements of the body. Now if you go to the intricacies of the body's demands, then it's such a hellish. And we can see that as long as we have this body, these demands will be to a greater or lesser extent. When the body is there, we have to arrange for food. When the body is there, we have to make the basic arrangements for its comforts. Therefore, a person who is situated in knowledge, when he gets the opportunity to get rid of this body, he considers it such a relief. We can just try to consider that, just a common sense thing. What's the size of the soul?
Hmm.
1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. So small. And what's the size of the body? Now, can you imagine that tiny little spirit soul has to carry this big hulk of this body? Hulk means mass.
Yeah.
This big body. So how difficult it is for the soul. Now you consider, if you have to carry a weight of, say, whatever the size of your body, say 60 kilos. If you have to carry 60 kilos constantly, how will you feel? Some bodies are even 100 kilos, 150 kilos, 300 kilos. Now mind you, it's a tiny little spirit soul that is carrying this big burden of this body. Now just you consider, even if you have to carry a weight of 20 kilos constantly, how will you feel? At some point you become tired and you don't want to carry this load anymore. And that's the time you fall asleep. Sleep means soul says, okay, I had enough, I can't carry it anymore. But the trouble is, he, for the time being, he just unloads the body, unloads the weight. But then he wakes up again and then he picks up the weight and starts to carry on. But at death, we actually get an opportunity to give up this body completely, forever, for good. Don't you like to sleep? Who is there who doesn't like to sleep? Everybody likes to sleep. Now sleep and death is the same thing. So if sleep is so pleasing, can you imagine how pleasing death is going to be? Provided you are situated in knowledge. The knowledge that you are not this body, you are a spirit soul, but this body is an unnecessary burden. So, the difference between death and sleep is, in sleep we wake up in the same body, but in death we wake up in another body. And the perfect death is when we wake up in our spiritual body. And it's possible if we are properly trained by the scriptures and bona fide spiritual masters like Srila Prabhupada, then yes, we will conquer death. Death is wonderful, but why people are afraid of death? Because they do not have any information about what happens after death. They don't know what death is. That's why they're afraid of it. But in the Vedic culture, people were not afraid of death. Rather, they invited death when death was destined to come. Like here we see Yudhishthir Maharaj, what did he do? He just started to walk. Walk and walk and walk to give up this body. And when the other Pandavas, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul and Sahadev, got to know about Yudhishthir Maharaj's intention, they also followed him. And Draupadi also joined them. And they started to walk. From Hastinapur, from Delhi, you go to north, you start walking towards north, you'll come to the Mount Himalayas. And they started to walk with non-stop until they give up their bodies. The first one to give up her body was Draupadi. Then Sahadev. Then Nakul. Then Arjun. And then finally Bhim. Bhim left his body in Badrika Ashram, which is miles up in the Himalayan mountain. And they didn't look back. When someone fell, left his body, they didn't look behind and stop. They just carried on. Although Draupadi was their wife, and when she left her body, they didn't stop. They just carried on. So this shows how determined they were to become free from all material bondage. There's nothing to look back. And actually that is how we must prepare ourselves to leave our bodies. There's nothing to look back. Nothing in the material nature should actually cross our mind. Our mind should be fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. Mind should be totally fixed on the spiritual sky. If we look back and think of something, then again we have to come back. Therefore, one has to be very, very careful while he is preparing himself for death. There should not be any attachment whatsoever. And that is the perfection of life. And then we can see that Bhima left his body. Bhima was the last one to leave his body. But when Yudhishthir Maharaj, for him the chariot came to take him to the spiritual sky. Actually, Mahabharat describes that the chariot came to take Yudhishthir Maharaj to the heavenly planet. But when Yudhishthir Maharaj went to the heavenly planet and didn't find the Pandavas, his other brothers, then he was not interested to stay on the heavenly planet. That's the attitude of a devotee. He simply wants to be in the association of devotees. If there is no association of devotees, he is not interested to stay in the heavenly planet. But if the association of devotees is available, he is prepared to even go to hell. But even if a devotee goes to hell, why does he go to hell? A devotee goes to hell to deliver the residents of the hellish planet. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he left Vrindavan and went to New York City. New York City is? What is New York City like? At least it doesn't matter how it is to us, but to Srila Prabhupada, New York City was hell. But Srila Prabhupada went to New York City to deliver the conditioned souls there. So that is the attitude of a devotee. And in order to associate with Srila Prabhupada, so many advanced devotees actually took birth in those places. They did not mind the hellish condition of the United States of America or the Western world. They took birth in those countries just to assist Srila Prabhupada. A devotee is not worried about the external material condition. It's something like the US government or say Italian government sends the ambassador to a very, very poverty-stricken hellish country like Angola or Sudan. Or Saudi Arabia. Do they mind going there? Do they say, the ambassador, do they say that, no, I don't want to go to those countries? No, when the government wants to send him on a mission, he's prepared to go there. But when he goes there, does he become subjected to the condition of that country? No, the government, say the Italian government or US government, makes all the arrangements for his most comfortable living. Similarly, when one acts on behalf of Krishna, becomes Krishna's representative, Krishna's agent, Krishna makes all the arrangements for him, no matter wherever he goes. Often I ask devotees, did your life improve after you became a devotee? Maybe I can ask the same question here. Did your life improve after you became a devotee? Who thinks that it did? Please raise your hands. Very good. Now, can you tell me why your life improved? Why? Because you have accepted the service of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna decided to take care of you.
Krishna,
Now, say, for example, if you get a job with a good company and you're serving there very nicely, will the company pay you the pay you to maintain you? What is a big company in Italy? Guru Charan? Fiat. Okay. Huh? Fiat or Ferrari or Lamborghini? Okay. Huh? Say if you get a good job, if you get a job with a big company, like won't the company take care of you and make all the arrangements for your nice, comfortable living? Will the company take care of people? Therefore, people like to get a job in a big company. Now, can you imagine if a material company like Fiat or whatever can take care of you so nicely when you accept their job? Then how can Krishna take care of you when you accept his service, his job? To become a devotee means to become employed by Krishna. Yeah, you get a job in Krishna's company. And the more you serve, the more facilities you get. And that is why it's so wonderful to become a devotee of Krishna. And therefore Krishna gave the assurance that you surrender to me, that means you accept my job, then all your sinful reactions will be wiped away. And on top of that, what you will get, you can't even imagine. Krishna is taking care of even the demons. So when somebody becomes Krishna's devotee, is there any way of knowing how Krishna is going to take care of him? Therefore, a devotee doesn't want anything but just to serve Krishna. And a devotee is perfectly situated, most comfortably situated, most happily situated. Therefore, an intelligent person will just become a devotee of Krishna. Because then all his problems will be solved and all prosperity will be there for him. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes.
Sono ancora più intensi che i sentimenti che si trovano in ognuno.
So Maharaj, you said that for a pure devotee, separation from Krishna is the most painful situation, and Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees, the feeling of the devotees are more intense in Vipravamba, in separation, than when they are with Krishna. Can you say something about these topics?
A devotee's feeling of separation from other devotees is most painful. Because the association of devotees is what a devotee always desires. Because in the association of devotees, Krishna consciousness becomes, Krishna consciousness flourishes. One is reminded of Krishna, one gets an opportunity to discuss about Krishna, one gets an opportunity to render service together to Krishna. So that's why Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Machipta Madgata Prana, Bodhayanta Parasparam, Kathayantascha Mang Nittam, Tushanticha Ramanticha. Those whose hearts have been completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, when they get together, they simply discuss about Krishna because they know Krishna. And by doing that, they derive their joy and satisfaction. And that is why, for a devotee, to become separated from that association causes so much pain. Because when he doesn't have this opportunity of association, he cannot actually discuss about Krishna and he cannot get to hear about Krishna. Whereas the gopis' situation from being separated from Krishna, they were separated from Krishna, but they were not separated from the association of devotees. This actually provides them with the opportunity to discuss about Krishna or become absorbed in Krishna consciousness even more intensely. For example, when Krishna is there and you are talking about Krishna, it doesn't have that kind of depth. But when Krishna is not there and in separation, when your heart is breaking and then you speak about Krishna, then how do you feel? That feeling is a lot more intense. And actually, Krishna is never separated from his devotees. Nor the devotees are ever separated from Krishna. But in Vrindavan, Krishna creates this atmosphere simply to intensify their love for him. Actually, when Uddhav went to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis, he actually told them, why are you repenting for Krishna? Krishna is in their heart. But what was Gopi's attitude towards Uddhav? Uddhav, you shut up. We don't want to hear your wise words. What do you know of love? Unless and until you know what love is, you will never understand what this separation means. So then it's not that they didn't know that Krishna is God, it's not that they didn't know that Krishna is in their heart, but it didn't matter. All they wanted is simply to love Krishna. So that's the difference between knowledge and love. So a pure devotee, due to his or her love for Krishna, for him the separation from Krishna becomes totally unbearable. But this unbearable situation intensifies their love for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Any other question? Yes. You see, a Vaishnav's attitude towards other Vaishnav is free from Maya. Unnecessary. Maya means unnecessary material attachment. When one knows that because of Krishna's departure, his devotee doesn't want to stay on this planet anymore, so he just wants to give up his body and go back to Krishna. He doesn't want to stop him from his approach to Krishna. Because if they do, then it will become Maya. An example is when Parikshit Maharaj decided to give up his body, go to the Ganges, sit down to prepare himself to accept death.
Un esempio è che quando Maharaj Parikshit decide di lasciare il suo corpo
finale per incrociare il corpo, aspettando la morte.
There were others, his relatives, his family members, his friends, many exalted ministers. Did they try to stop him?
Altre persone, come ad esempio i suoi parenti, i suoi amici, altre persone come i ministri, forse cercarono di fermarlo.
Even his mother, Uttara, didn't try to stop him.
Persino sua madre Uttara non cercò di fermarlo.
Rather they felt that, well, if he wants to go back to Krishna now in this way, let him go. Let us help him. But if they were, if their relationship was maik, material, then what would they would have said? No, no, please don't go. What will happen to me? What will happen to all your family members? What will happen to your friends? What will happen to the kingdom? No, no, please don't go. We'll make some arrangement. We'll get some doctors to cure you from the snake bite. That is the spiritual feeling. Okay? You're going to Krishna, very good, we'll help you in whichever way we can. Does it answer your question? Yes. Yeah, okay. So you want me to comment on that? Why we did that? Okay, I'll give you the background. Well, first of all, I must admit that still now I am a neophyte, and at that time I was even more neophyte. I was very much in Maya, and I am still very much in Maya, and I was even more in Maya those days. But still, I will explain what my feelings were at that time. You see, Prabhupada's condition was actually very, very bad at that time. You see, as early as in May, Prabhupada actually left Rishikesh for Vrindavan to leave his body. One night Prabhupada told us that we should take him to Vrindavan because time has come for him to leave his body, and he would like to leave his body in Vrindavan. An arrangement was made to bring Srila Prabhupada to Vrindavan. That was in early May. So Prabhupada actually came to Vrindavan to give up his body. But when the devotees from all over the world came and requested him to stay, Prabhupada agreed to stay. But, Prabhupada ultimately wanted to leave. So he stayed for a little longer, but he wanted to leave.
in realtà Srila Prabhupada voleva andarsene, per cui è rimasto un po' di più, ma voleva andarsene.
So from May to November, you can consider 6 months. So in these 6 months, Prabhupada's condition deteriorated considerably. And on top of that, for about 2.5 months, Prabhupada hardly ate anything. Just a little fruit juice, a little sugar syrup. And Prabhupada's body was so frail at that time that Prabhupada could not even, you know, like, he couldn't turn to his side. We had to help him to turn to his side. And if we are not careful, then he would feel pain. So at that time, you know, this idea came. It came actually from Prabhupada that he would go on a Vrindavan Parikrama. On a bullock cart. Then it was considered that Vrindavan Parikrama will be too long, so better go in a Govardhan Parikrama. But I could understand that it was actually Prabhupada's preparation to leave his body in that
way.
But at that time we couldn't really submit to the idea that that we should allow Prabhupada to leave his body in that way. So that is why the effort was made to stop Srila Prabhupada from going on. And those who were excited about taking Srila Prabhupada to this parikrama of Govardhan, they also were not thinking that Prabhupada was going to leave his body in that way. They thought by doing that, Prabhupada will become all right again. If they could understand that actually this was Prabhupada's arrangement to give up his body, then they also wouldn't have let Prabhupada go like that. Okay, you had a question. Yeah. No, these are not just superstition. There are some basis, there's some foundation behind these understandings.
Non si tratta soltanto di superstizioni, non c'è una base, un fondamento di sotto di questa comprensione.
But in the age of Kali, the situation has become so bad that even those bad signs don't really mean anything. And another way to look at it is that since we have accepted the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we are not worried about. What to speak of black cats crossing? Krishna can kick out millions of black cats out of our way. And in this age of Kali, everything is so degraded that we should actually be prepared for anything at any moment. Can you imagine how precarious, how dangerous the situation of this world is? Like just one, it takes, you know, if one crazy guy just pushes one button, right, you know, like all these nuclear warheads are going to fly everywhere. You know. Actually, if we consider the situation of this world, how dangerous it is, we won't be able to sleep at night. And on the subtle plane also you consider, so many babies are being aborted, so many cows are being slaughtered. Yesterday we were discussing, and someone was telling us, Madhusavita Prabhu actually was telling, reporting that every year in this world 50 million babies are aborted. So that means like every year the population of entire population of Italy is being wiped out. Italy's population is about 50 million. Now there won't be any reaction. Few millions of cows are being slaughtered every day. Won't there be any reaction? And the reaction will happen. Reaction will take place. And when it takes place, you know, like no one can imagine what's going to happen to this world. But for us, for devotees, doesn't matter. Death will come. Whether it is out of nuclear explosion or it is out of mosquito bite, it's going to happen someday. We are not worried about that, but we know what really matters is that when it happens, we can remember Krishna. Therefore, for devotees, everything is auspicious. Yes.
Questo potrebbe creare la mentalità dell'abbandono alla responsabilità in questo mondo. Come devono rapportarsi? noi dobbiamo accettare questa mentalità che dato possibilità morte ci prenderà un giorno e che nel frattempo è facile che questi motori vengano utilizzati. Perciò noi nel frattempo non dobbiamo raccontarci, abbiamo tutto il programma che posso farci, però nel frattempo dobbiamo pensare che dobbiamo lasciare che queste cose devono dare molta importanza o essere aperti. Dici essere un picco di Krishna nel frattempo anche, essere tutto il permesso.
They would like to know if this kind of mentality that death is coming somehow, that this mentality make us like living, like surrender, and he wanted to know if we have to be like that, or maybe we have to be more careful of the situation of this material world.
Yes, both. Right, yeah. So we have to do both. In one hand, we have to be prepared for the worst. But at the same time, we should also try to prevent that from happening.
Dobbiamo fare entrambi. Da una parte dobbiamo essere pronti al peggio e dall'altra parte dobbiamo cercare di evitare che questo avvenga.
And that's why we have to preach Krishna consciousness.
E questo è il motivo per cui dobbiamo predicare la coscienza di Krishna.
That's why we have to go and chant the holy name of the Lord.
Questo è il motivo per cui dobbiamo andare a cantare il santo nome del Signore.
Because that is the only way that this precarious situation can be saved.
E questo è l'unico modo in cui questa situazione precaria può essere salvata.
Because there is no other way, like, you know, otherwise we have to think in terms of, you know, getting political power, take over the countries, take over the whole world, destroy all the nuclear weapons. But, you know, that's a long way. Therefore, our business is to just depend upon Krishna and pray to Krishna, Krishna, please save this world from this degradation. And Krishna can save.
Perché altrimenti dovremo impegnarci nella politica, nella distruzione delle armi nucleari, dicendo, ma questa sarebbe una via lunga, perciò noi semplicemente ci impegniamo, preghiamo Krishna per favore e salva questo mondo. E Krishna può salvare.
Yes. Help a person who has committed suicide. Yeah, there are ways to do that. One is by praying to Krishna for the welfare of that departed soul. We can perform, his close relatives can perform Shraddh ceremony in Gaya or Mayapur or Vrindavan. And we can also offer him Krishna Prasad on the day he left his body. On that day we can offer him Krishna Prasad. This is how he can be helped. But main thing is it's better not to commit suicide. Because one gets into a very, very difficult situation when one commits suicide. His situation is something like, you see, the material nature gave us a very wonderful gift, this human body. This body actually is meant to achieve the ultimate perfection of our existence. When you get this body, we get an opportunity to go back to the spiritual sky. Now, if somebody destroys this gift, how will material nature feel? It's like you give somebody a very valuable gift, and he just, you know, destroys it, wastes it. How will you feel? Won't you say that, okay, I'll never give you a gift like that again? So that is how the material nature reacts. Okay, I gave you such a wonderful gift and you squandered it, I'll not give you another body for a long time to come. Yesterday. My first reaction is that although they came to Krishna consciousness to us to become trained up, we failed to train them up and give them the proper understanding, and that's why one acted in such a whimsical way.
La mia prima sensazione, reazione è stata che perché siano venuti a noi in coscienza di Krishna per essere educati, noi non siamo riusciti a educarli in modo giusto e perciò loro hanno reagito in questo modo.
We must remind all the members of our, or those who come in contact with us, that committing suicide is very, very dangerous. One may think that, well, he'll get rid of his body and everything will be over, but everything will not be over. He will remain in the subtle body, in the ghost body, and he'll have to suffer even more than what suffering was he was going through in this life. You see, it's something like killing others is bad. And killing oneself is 1,000 times, million times worse. So will anybody in his right sense kill somebody else? No. So what to speak of killing oneself?
buone condizioni mentali ucciderebbe qualcun altro? No, allora che dire di uccidere se stessi?
Therefore this knowledge about Krishna consciousness must be given properly. What the soul is, what the body is, we are not this body. If we realize that we are not this body, and if the body is going through some difficulties, why should you destroy the body? Rather, when we are situated in spiritual understanding, then we know the spirit soul is not affected by what's going on in the body.
E quando siamo situati nella conoscenza spirituale, noi sappiamo che l'anima non viene influenzata da ciò che accade al corpo.
And spirit soul's only business is to become related to Krishna, develop that loving relationship with Krishna.
E l'unico affare dell'anima è quello di essere in relazione con Krishna e sviluppare amore per Krishna.
Let's just ask here, everybody.
Adesso chiediamo a tutti quanti.
Will anyone think of committing suicide, ever? Will you think of committing suicide? Those who are thinking of committing suicide, raise your hands.
Qualcuno pensa di commettere suicidio, pensa di che commetterà suicidio, che si suiciderà in futuro, e alzi la mano, per favore.
No one?
Nessuno.
Yeah, that's very good. Never ever even think of committing suicide. No matter how many difficulties you go through, never ever think of killing yourself. Rather accept everything as Krishna's mercy, even if you go through difficulties. Accept it as Krishna's mercy that He is helping you to make spiritual progress. Isn't this a wonderful world where you get the opportunity to serve Krishna? Isn't it a wonderful body with which we can serve Krishna so nicely? Isn't it because of this wonderful body that we are able to have the wonderful association of the devotees? So why should we ever destroy this opportunity? All right? Bene? Do you say comprendo? Capito. Yes. Yeah, when we when we take shelter of Krishna, then only we become fearless. Like you see, there are two ways of becoming fearless. Either you become very strong, or you depend upon somebody who is very strong. Just like a baby, a little child is walking with his father holding his hand. Does he have any fear? No. Right? Now similarly, when we hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, depend upon Him, and we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can very easily become free from fear. So whether we are pure devotees or not doesn't matter. What matters is we depend upon Krishna. And the wonderful thing is that when we depend upon Krishna, we become pure devotees. You see, to become a pure devotee doesn't mean that we have to become a superman. A pure devotee means 100% surrender to Krishna. In order to surrender, in order to depend, do we have to become a superman? No. We simply have to become very humble and very sincere. Right? Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We can have a little kirtan before we end the class. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.